This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Rang out at a Dallas airport, people scrambling as they knew that something was going on. Luckily, this did not turn fatal for anyone, and the woman was shot. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. Hate to start on this note. It seems like I'm always talking about an active shooter, but the police have identified the woman suspected of opening fire at Dallas Love Field Monday morning at around 11 o'clock as Portia Odufwa. They say she'd been dropped off at the airport, went into the terminal, went into a woman's restroom, and a short time later came out of into the ticket counter area and fired a weapon several times. A Dallas police officer nearby engaged her immediately, shot her in the lower extremities. She was hauled off to the hospital. No other injuries were reported with passengers, airport workers, or responding officers, which is lucky. And what was she trying to do? They have still no idea. She was dressed in all black, walking in the terminal with guns up. So you can only imagine what people in their minds in those moments, what they were thinking. And people that were there described it as, hey, we were checking in. We looked around, we heard someone yelling, we looked up, we saw her walking down with the guns up, and we went down on the floor. Those kinds of comments could be heard afterwards. So scary. You know, they had to rescreen all the travelers through the airport security checkpoint because everybody had to be evacuated. So the airport was basically down for 3 to 4 hours. And that's what they had to do. So it snarled traffic at the airport for hours on end. And it's shocking, the images, some of them, how the travelers just took cover. I mean, what are they going to do? They slammed to the ground. And then what was tweeted out, because, of course, everything is tweeted out immediately, from Dallas Love Field, that's the name of the airport, which is just 10 minutes outside of downtown Dallas, passengers should refrain from coming to Dallas Love Field at this time. Flight operations have been suspended. Travelers should check directly with their airline for the latest updates on their flight status. Thank you for your patience. I mean, that's it. You know, what are they going to do? Now, this woman has been accused of a bank robbery a couple of years ago in a nearby city, and she was arrested at the scene, but the charges were later dropped. So who knows what that's about, and who knows what the idea was here. It's something that will maybe be uncovered in the next day or two. I guess let's put it that way. But shocking for people who, again, aren't expecting on a kind of sleepy Monday, not in the rush hour time, you get your tickets for 10 or 11 thinking it's going to be better, and then look what happens. And I think the other thing, I say this show is about what we're talking about, the buzz in your backyard and mine, is California's largest wildfire of the year burning near Yosemite. So 16,000 acres have burned. You got firefighters from all over the place that are continuing to do what they can to put this fire out in and near Yosemite National Park. I mean, the number of, this shows you the severity of it, the number of firefighters assigned to the fire went from 403 to 2,093 in the past 24 hours, because now it's the biggest one in the state. And you've got people that are flying, that are dropping things down. That's what they do, the retardant, etc. And you have people on the ground, and only 10% contained. And the concern is trying to get everyone evacuated because it's happening so rapidly that you've got roads that are closed, a big stretch of Route 140, which is a main artery into Yosemite, completely closed, completely closed. So this is what happens. I mean, you've got this dry, warm weather and drought-like conditions, and then you get the winds and forget about it. It's just a disaster, and it's very, very sad to see this. Of course, human life is the most important thing in getting people out, and they've managed to really, really do a good job of that. Like I said, it's moving so fast that that often can be difficult because people don't get the word or they decide they're going to stay. I'm going to hunker down. This is my house. I've been here for 40 years, and I'm going to figure out a way to fight it, which would be a huge mistake. But luckily, the most of the people have done what they should have done, gotten out immediately, because it's just that kind of a fire where you look over your shoulder and it looked like it was just down the road, and now suddenly it is not down the road anymore. Good news from Ukraine, perhaps, if this all works out, but Ukrainian officials are hopeful that grain exports could resume this week, despite the fact that Russian missiles are hitting the southern port of Odessa. That just happened a couple of days ago. But Kyiv and Moscow agreed to a deal to allow shipments. Even the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, said the other day, as he's touring Africa, really to rally big support for Moscow, that Russia and Turkey are going to use military naval forces to escort vessels carrying Ukrainian grain through the Black Sea into the Bosporus area, which is then filtered down into Africa, where they're desperate to get that grain, and some other areas too. But nothing else has changed. I mean, there still is the fight for the control of the East and missiles hitting Odessa and lots and lots of areas torn to shreds and no end in sight at this point. Absolutely no end in sight. Paul Sorvino is dead. The actor who played a cop and played a mob boss too. If you like mob movies and you saw Goodfellas, you remember him as Paulie, one of the main characters in Goodfellas. But he played cops as much as he played the mob types too. And he was an actor for 50 years. If you don't know his name, you probably have seen him in something, because he certainly had a lot of cameos and he had a lot of large meaty roles too. And boy, oh boy, I can just remember the scene in Goodfellas where he was in prison and he was cooking, because of course they got anything they wanted in prison, right? And he was slicing garlic with a razor blade, slicing the garlic and telling them how to really make the sauce. And it was just one of, that movie had all of those different transitions where you go from the brutal crime boss to this caring, here's how we make it, this is the family tradition, and they're behind bars. So rest in peace, Paul Sorvino, very popular, who's 83 years old. Coming up on this show, coming up next, we got odds and ends, and how much would you pay for a concert ticket to see one of your favorite performers? Think about that for a second.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
From the very beginning, from the time I was a kid, the 72-year-old star, one of the best-selling artists, sold, of course, his master's and music publishing rights, right? Sony assuming the ownership of his entire catalog, which includes his hit you just heard, Born in the USA. But I asked the question, how much would you pay to see your favorite artist? Bruce Springsteen fans are not happy about the ticket prices for his 2023 U.S. tour, which is actually starting in my hometown, my new hometown. Floor seats are ranging from $4,000 to $5,000 on Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. Nosebleeds go for $1,000. $1,000. And really, there is not too much in between. Right? So Ticketmaster has everybody really furious. People that are big concert goers blame so much on Ticketmaster. They're saying that Ticketmaster claims the dynamic method aims to price tickets closer to their fair value. And Ticketmaster is charging exorbitant amounts to see the boss in concert. So can you imagine? I mean, how much is it worth it? Would you pay, even if you had that set aside $4,000 a ticket? Are you, and you're not going by yourself, right? So somebody else has to pay $4,000. Are you paying $8,000? What could you do with that money? Now, if you win the Mega Millions on Tuesday, oh, all bets are off. Who cares? You're not going to care. But it's really crazy. I mean, I was looking at general admission, standing room only in Boston when he's in Boston in March at TD Garden. So this is standing room only. $2,147 each for those seats, not really seats, right? Wow, that is so crazy. I mean, he's not the only one where the tickets are insane, but that's some of the highest amounts that I've seen in a very, very long, long, long time. And, you know, here's the thing. The nosebleeds are really the nosebleeds. So do you really want to go be in the nosebleeds for a high price anyway? And, you know, it used to be first come, first serve. So that was the whole idea. You got the tickets, and fine if you have to pay a little bit more. If you have to, you're not going to pay the prices that you could have paid, I don't know how many decades ago, but it just seems out of bounds for what people would pay. I mean, so really you're going to have corporate types, and people who have a ton of money are going to be all the people that are in the expensive seats, because who else could afford it, right? You know, and this isn't, like I said, this isn't just pegged on Bruce Springsteen. There are certainly other tickets that are out of reach for other well-known artists, but he's very popular, and you know that, you know, he spreads across the decades of people who are fans, and people like the rawness, the realness of Bruce Springsteen. So they're going to pay a lot if they want to go and see. If they want to go and see Bruce Springsteen, he is awesome in concert. The band is awesome. It is some of the best concerts I've seen in my life have been the Springsteen concerts. I used to go to concerts a lot, and wow. I mean, there's even a North Jersey congressman who slammed Ticketmaster for ripping off entertainment star fans, and that's the thing. Because of COVID, of being desperate for live entertainment, and now, boy, I just want to go see a concert, you know, to have it be that high. The rep was Bill Pascrell, and he said that it's a market-based pricing system that allows ticket costs to rise and fall based on demand. And so here we go again. You know, that's true. It's been a long hiatus. And, of course, for Springsteen, it's been a hiatus. People want to go out and they want to enjoy live entertainment, but, boy, not getting ripped off. Right? Oof. There's got to be a better way to do that. Now, the Madison Square Garden tickets, yeah, forget about it. You have to own a piece of New York, basically, right? That's it. That's what to be able to go and see them. So I just wondered, how much would you be willing to pay to go see your favorite in concert? Just for fun, because we always talk about such heavy, heavy things that are happening in the world around us. You can send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. I said at the beginning of this, I feel very fortunate that I've seen him many, many times when ticket prices were nowhere near that. And, of course, different times I get it, but it is the demand. That's what it is, that, hey, people haven't been able to see the concerts that they normally would see. They haven't been to live entertainment. And it's true. People are absolutely starved for it, completely starved for it. So therefore they have a monopoly and control the prices, and they can push the prices up, and, you know, that's it. Because that is crazy. Well, especially we've got inflation flying around our heads. Who knows if they're going to use the dreaded R word, recession. You know, jobs that were once protected aren't protected, and people will say, well, there's so many jobs, and the jobs report's good. But that doesn't include people who are losing good jobs, right? Things that are shrinking, things that you can't get because of the backlog, things that have just completely gone out, the COVID overreach, that's what I call it, where it just laps over. We forget, oh, it's in the rearview mirror, but it's affecting us still, right? I'm going to leave you with this note, thinking that naps are good, which I thought naps were good, but I was just reading a story that people who often nap have a greater chance of developing high blood pressure and having a stroke. Oh, that's awful news. So for our friends listening in Tucson, this is from the Banner University Medical Center in Tucson, Arizona. And I guess that one of the things that this Michael Grandner talked about, because he directs behavioral sleep medicine at that medical center, he said that it, this may be because although taking a nap itself is not harmful, many people who take naps may do so because of poor sleep at night. Poor sleep at night is associated with poor health. Naps are not enough to make up for that. So we're not like bears. That makes sense. We're not like bears where we can hibernate. So I just hibernate. If I just hold it in for a while, if I make up for, I didn't get to sleep Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, if I sleep a lot over the weekend, won't it help? I mean, of course that doesn't help. So that makes so much more sense to me. They say the study, they looked at people who typically nap during the day were 12% more likely to develop high blood pressure over time and were 24% more likely to have a stroke compared with people who never napped. If the person was younger than 60, napping most days raised the risk of that high blood pressure by 20%. Wow. When people do night shift work, kind of the deal. You try to sleep a nap. You try to get a nap to revitalize you and get you that, like a power nap. If you can get a power nap, that can be really good. And I guess longer naps are worse. So if it's what I call a power nap, it's probably better. You know, 20 minutes is okay if you're sleep deprived. But if you go too long, too deep in it, then it's not good for you, and that it's a sign of an underlying sleep disorder. There has to be a better way, right? That's the thing. If you win the lottery, you can take as many naps as you want, because who cares? You're not working, so it doesn't matter. You don't get up anytime. Nap, sleep, whatever, it's all good if you win Mega Millions, right? But you gotta get a ticket. Would you like to be the daughter of a crop duster? Our next guest has a great story about her mom crop dusting. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
If a person is paid on a salary, they have just lost an entire month of work for free because of the Biden administration.
House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy, this is Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is now trying to say that two negative quarters of economic growth is not a technical definition of a recession. New economic numbers are set to be released Thursday. President Biden is pushing the Senate and House to pass a bill aimed at boosting computer chip production in the United States. The president meeting with CEOs and labor union leaders remotely at the White House. Biden adding that a Made in America stamp should be on semiconductors. The bill is currently before the Senate. You're listening to USA Radio News. Wyoming Congressman Liz Cheney says the January 6th Select Committee is thinking about a subpoena to Ginny Thomas, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Appearing on Fox News, Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan says he's no fan of this.
This is part of the left's concerted effort to intimidate the court. I think the country, again, understands this for what it is and is not for it, even though the left continues to push it.
The Democratic-led committee has uncovered emails between Ginny Thomas and people they believe are relevant to the investigation of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The World Health Organization is issuing a new warning due to the ongoing monkeypox outbreak. It said there's no guarantee that cases will continue to primarily affect communities of gay and bisexual men. This comes as the WHO activated its highest alert level for the outbreak Saturday, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Conversation. Think baby boomers. Memories of baby boomers. Debbie Dashner joins us. It's a book that she's written. Debbie, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's talk about baby boomers. It's so interesting if you go back and you look at the beginning of the baby boomer's life, and of course that stretches in different times depending on how old somebody is listening to this. But what made you write this book? Why'd you decide to write this?
Well, I wanted to do something. See, I had only written, fictitious works before that, and I thought, well, maybe I should do something factual. Just seems like it's something I'll do, and I thought, well, and I got to thinking, well, no one really has, we've written a whole lot of books and written about World War II, this particular last 20 years or something like that, and rightly so. But our generation, which covers basically from, I think they say, 1946 to 1956, I think that's as far as birth years go. And so we had a lot of things to happen as well, and some quite horrendous. So I want to look around, see if there's anything like that that I could see. And I couldn't see anything like that, not complete, like I thought it had to have, like scrapbook type. So I said, well, why don't I do one myself? And voila, it came about. It took a long time to put it together, something like that. But it came about, and it is one of the books that most people do ask me about when I have written that. They want to know about it. And so it's been a good choice.
You know, it's interesting. It's like you said, there isn't anything that has all of it combined, because these are just like chapters. You talk about the Six-Day War, the war in Vietnam, JFK's assassination. You talk about cars, airplanes, electric typewriters. There's people that don't even know what an electric typewriter is, like my nephew. Fast food. What do you talk about with electric typewriters? Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up with pica type, just manual types, as we called them. And when I was, a senior in high school, that's when I took typing, that's when electric typewriters are still basically in their infancy. And so it was so amazing because you know, for manual types, you really have to hit the keys pretty hard, you know, to get them to go down. And here are these electrics, though, they're very, very easy. It was kind of like the difference between a piano and an organ. You got to really use strings to hit a piano, but for an organ, you don't. I know my bad. You see, they go down so easily, and I could tell that you've got that piano habit. you hit them pretty hard. And it's very similar like the manual type versus the electric type, as I was. And so, but it caught on very, very quickly. You know, the electric type, and soon, you know, and I think by the time I was a college graduate, I think virtually pica types, manual types, were just not in use anymore as far as business concerned, things like that. It was also electric. You just said, it was type, oh, is it electric or pica? Don't ask me that question. That was almost their reaction line. Of course it's electric.
Of course it's electric, yes. Yeah, and here we talk about something like, that's what I like about your books. Some of it is fun stuff, and then there's the serious, heavier stuff. A lot of people will talk about where they are when something huge happens in history, and certainly the JFK assassination is one of them. What do you write about as far as JFK's death?
Oh, yes. Well, that was another, my first coming of age politically was, I was 11, with the downing of the U-2 plane. And see, I was able to get several people that were there as well, so they told me what they remembered, and they knew some things I didn't know. Like, I had no idea the pilot who was taken down from that, he was held over in Russia for a couple of days. He was released, he was fined, all that kind of thing, but I didn't even know about that. So, I love to learn more than anything else, and so this quest, I learned a whole lot of things that I didn't know, you know, even though I had done the research and things like that. But 11 was first, and then definitely when I was 14 years old when it happened, when the assassination happened, and I remember people say, well, that's like Pearl Harbor was to the World War II generation. They know exactly where they were, they knew the time and all this kind of thing, and I guess to a certain extent that's how this was as well. But like Kennedy was visiting Fort Worth and Dallas, and I remember when it started, when we first got the news of it, we were in homeroom that day, and let's see, and I remember that people started coming. I was trying to do my algebra. That was my next class I had. I was one math I did enjoy, but it was not exactly easy, so I was trying to get some extra time. And then people kept coming and said, Kennedy's been shot. And at first I had no idea what they're talking about. I said, what? You know, and then a few more kept coming, and I said, what is this all about? And I said, Kennedy? President? Oh, I forgot he was in Fort Worth at last night, and he's going to be in Dallas today. But what's this all about? And a lot of us said this after it all happened. We said we thought they were making jokes. I said, guys, you really shouldn't joke about things like this. I know we don't really like the guy, but we don't wish him any harm, anything like that. And so it just kind of went back and forth. I tried to do my work, but more and more people came in and saying, you know, Kennedy's been shot. And then at 1 o'clock, when he's pronounced dead, that's when our teacher came in. I guess she was just waiting to come in at the right time as well. And then she said he had died. Then I went into shock. I said, what? What is this all about? Who, where, why? All this kind of thing. You know, and I remember saying, you know, I know we were, most of us in that area that were not fans of his. We didn't think, didn't really dislike, didn't think he was well qualified for the job because he's very, very young. You know, all this kind of thing. In fact, I think that time he was the youngest of the presidents we'd had. And we just talked, you know, a little bit here and there. And when we left our next class, well, nothing was really done. In fact, our teachers were pretty much in shock as well and said, well, if you want to just kind of sit still and just kind of gather your thoughts, something like that. And that's about what we did. Any sound was made. It was very, very quiet. We didn't have class and all of this. And I think we dismissed class, dismissed school that early that year. My mom had just come from her job. She was a federal employee. And there she was out there waiting to pick me up. Usually I'd walk home from school because I left fairly close there. And I said, Mom, you heard what happened? Oh, yes. So a lot of our girls just burst into tears, you know, and things like, I'm sure. But it was, yeah, it was definitely a shock. And what I was really shocked, too, is when Khrushchev, the leader of Russia at that time, extended his sympathies. I thought, really? I thought you were trying to kill the guy.
Right. And then look what happens. And you're right. So it's interesting to hear your recollection of that. And we're speaking with Debbie Dashner, Memories of Baby Boomers. That's the name of her book. And one last one, because we don't want to give away the whole book, but fast food. That had to be huge when fast food started to become big.
Oh, well, yeah. I was able to say, I mentioned in there that fast food was not completely original with modern times. In Pompeii, they did have some fast food type services, food services. And I didn't know that until my Latin class, you know. And so, but anyway, in fact, one of the counters, things like that, where you put the food, looked very much like something they had uncovered in Pompeii. It was semicircular and all this kind of thing. I said, well, what do you know? And all this kind of thing. But yeah, that was, let's see, fast food actually started, I think, before, close to the end of World War II. I'm not exactly certain about that, but it didn't explode until afterwards.
Right.
And that's when, hamburgers, hot dogs, those are our main things. And I know it was almost a daily ritual for us. We would go every Thursday evening to a hamburger place, and man, I still remember how good they were. They were small, but they're very, very inexpensive.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah, that was the key. Fast food. You could get it fast. So what do you hope people take away from reading your book, Memories of Baby Boomers?
Well, whatever they want to. You know, I kind of was trying to include everybody. But just to remember, that it was a pretty tumultuous time. And just remember, keep up with current events. They're always important. And get the facts, too. You know, don't let anyone scare you with things that are not proven and kind of things like those. If you have questions, if you have complaints, you know, write to your leaders. That's why they're there, especially your congressmen, senators. That's what I also had started saying, and when I was teaching college freshmen, about that. Okay, yeah, guys, if you have complaints or you have questions about current events, write to your leaders. You know, that's why they're there. I'm sure you'll get an answer. Be very glad that you were interested enough to ask them. So that's what I felt like the best thing I think I've always been able to tell young people about. And I hope they got the idea about that. Is it, you know, from reading is, you know,
ask questions.
Have questions, and there's no such thing as a dumb question.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I agree. We'll wrap this up here because it's just fabulous. Baby Boomers, Memories of Baby Boomers. You get it on Amazon. Debbie Dashner, thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much. Always glad to talk with you. And let me say, for anyone here in French, this is Bastille Day.
That's right, Bastille Day. Hey, thanks, Debbie.
Well, thank you. Glad to talk to you.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jimmy G is going to get his trade if someone will pick him up. Also, sad story about a former Steelers wide receiver. Hey, hey, everybody. For hanging out in the man cave, of course, we're going to talk NFL. We're getting very close to training camps, really just a handful of weeks away from training camps. In fact, 2 weeks in most cases. So here's the scoop on the Niners. He certainly was a well-liked personality, but the 49ers have given Jimmy Garoppolo's agent permission to seek a trade involving the veteran quarterback. Garoppolo, of course, is recovering from off-season surgery on his throwing shoulder. That was part of the problem. But he is clear to start practicing. The Niners are preparing for the start of training camp. Theirs swings open next week. And they're still expected to exercise caution this summer with Garoppolo, again, because of that very tender surgery back in March. And that was part of what delayed San Fran in their effort to try to trade him. So anyway, Niners coach Kyle Shanahan acknowledged that he was most likely going to be traded, but that it wasn't a guarantee. Boy, that uncertainty really rings through on this one. Because you got the second-year quarterback, Trey Lance. He's worked as the starter during San Francisco's offseason program so far. And again, Garoppolo, who's been the starter since the late 2017 season, has spent most of the offseason just rehabbing, so he's not available. He was excused from the mandatory mini camp in early June, and veterans will report to Niners training camp on Tuesday. So what's interesting, it's always money that comes into play here. He's 30, he's going into the final season of his contract, and he's scheduled to count over $26 million against the 2022 salary cap, and that included a no-trade clause for the 2021 season only, so the 49ers could trade him to any bloody team they wanted to trade him to. And an acquiring
2019, this is the key, with him having that throwing arm surgery, they would have to take on that $24 million salary if he was traded right now. But it's not guaranteed, and so interested teams could work with him on a contract extension that they could knock that down, and that's probably what ends up happening here is what I think. This is a sad story. He's a popular, well-liked guy, Charles Johnson, a former Steelers wide receiver and Colorado Buffalo's star. He was definitely a star back in those days. He was a first-round draft pick, died at the age of 50, the cause of his death unknown. As of Wednesday afternoon, he was working as the assistant athletic director at a high school in Wake Forest, North Carolina. You know, I remember him well. I remember how good he was at Wake Forest, and he was the 17th pick overall in the 94 draft. Plus, he spent a couple years with the team that I root for, the Eagles, one season with the Pats and one with the Bills. He was a member of New England's Super Bowl winning team in 2001. He played four seasons at Colorado and definitely was a standout in his last few years. That's why he went so high in the draft. So really sad story there. Not a lot of details about what happened, so we don't know. There's not much I can really add to that other than he was personable and he definitely was well-liked, I think, in the locker rooms where he played, but we don't know what happened in this situation. Everybody's talking about golf more than I can ever remember, and part of the reason is because of the Saudi-backed tour. There's lots of hot opinions out there. What's your take? Is it a no-no to defect to the LIV golf tour and be dumped, basically, or be forced to resign from the PGA? I think it's a mixed bag of opinions out there. So another major championship winner has made that leap to the Invitational Series, and already he's been cut. So the Ryder Cup Europe confirmed on Wednesday that Henrik Stenson has been removed as the captain for the 2023 Ryder Cup in Rome. The 46-year-old is the latest to change lanes or allegiances, and he hooks up with some former Ryder Cup teammates, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Paul Casey, Graham McDowell, also making that change. And this is what he said. He responded. He said, look, as many of you will already have seen, unfortunately, my decision to play in the LIV events are called, has triggered Ryder Cup Europe to communicate that it's not possible for me to continue in my role as the captain. This is despite me making specific arrangements with this tour, who have been very supportive of my role as captain to ensure that I could fulfill the obligation. So he's not happy because he's saying they bent over backwards to make sure that he could do what he had to do to stay as the captain of the Ryder Cup team for Europe. And the Ryder Cup team said, no, screw it, you're out. I mean, they're kind of doing the same thing that we're seeing the PGA tour do. If that's what you want to do, then you're gone. And like I said, more people have talked about this golf tour and golf in general than I think I've seen ever. So many people want about golf and say, oh, it's an old man's sport, blah, 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 blah. But boy, are they interested now, and it's because of the Saudi situation that has, again, so many people upset about the, you know, emotions running high about being involved in it and taking the money. And certainly we know the American players, we've talked about them, and there's all those hot names, European names too. So it does make you wonder. I mean, some of these up-and-comers, boy, hopefully they play, you know, they play well and they gain some attention, because the some of the biggest stars aren't going to be there. I mean, it's, you know, you have your hardcore golf fans who just like golf, period, and then you have so many other people that it's hard for them to join the party because it's just not what they do, you know. And does this hurt overall or not? I think the PGA Tour thinks so. I mean, they didn't want to lose some of those top names, and that was part of the deal. Like, hey, forget it. Basically, a sort of a screw you, that if you want to do that, then we'll see ya. You know, that's it. All right, listen to something interesting. Speaking of other sports that people seem to either really like or they're iffy on, I'm a tennis fan. I grew up with tennis. I think my mom wanted to make sure I got some exercise, and I was out there hustling around. So, you know, I played tennis on whatever court I could find. It didn't matter if it was cut up or I was hitting against a church wall, tennis balls, you know how that is. Well, World Team Tennis, the whole idea about World Team Tennis was to get people interested in the excitement of tennis, and it's a mixed gender league, so you have men and women playing, and it was co-founded about a half a century ago by Billie Jean King. They don't have a season in 2022, but they're coming back next year. And World Team Tennis announced Wednesday that they're hoping to add new teams by 2023. The expansion fee is $1 million per franchise, $1 million. So there's a lot of discussions. There's places in Florida. There's some cities that might be interested. Nothing definite. But there are other places across the country that think that they could draw that and get that sponsorship money pretty easy, because there's kind of been, I think, a bigger interest, I guess, back in the game of, you know, tennis. All right, let's jump to the off-court season. Of course, I'm talking about the NBA. And here's where you see all kinds of moves. And, you know, you got the G League going on. And it's a question of whether core players are coming back to teams or, you know, whatnot. And you've got an NBA first-round prospect. Here's a great example of it. Sissoko. He's the 25th prospect in a lot of mock drafts. And he's signed with the NBA's G League's Ignite program, is what it's called. And the idea is that for some of them, they can kind of maximize the development of the player on and off the court. And it's interesting because it's kind of tailor-made, and it's a way to transition for someone like him into the U.S. style game, right, and get comfortable with it, and that gives him a much better chance, because the 18-year-old is the number 3 ranked prospect in Europe after a couple of other guys. So shifting into this league could possibly help him. That's what they're looking for, because he's projected anyway to go pretty high, and he's got the height. He's 6'7", and he's got the wingspan. He's long arms. He's a guard, and he really popped up on the NBA scouts' radar screens last summer at the FIBA U18 European Championship in Tel Aviv, because you could see it. He had defensive skills like crazy, and he had strength, and he had the height, etc. And that kind of raised his profile in what could be a pretty nice situation for him in the NBA. So the G League is a lot more athletic and physical, as a lot of people would describe it. So for him, this kind of makes sense to transition from the Spanish second division to the G League, and then that gives him more looks. And I think some players are going to be working on that kind of stuff too. So it'll be fun. You may hear his name in the future. I think you will, given his height and what he's able to do. All right, that's it for the Man Cave, and that's it for this show. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.